The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for these stories that may be really familiar to us. But we thank you for the life and truth that we find within them. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit to inspire, to challenge us, to call us, to increase our faith. And we pray that you would do those things this morning in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Fast forward a few books to a well-known story of someone called Jonah, and we find these words. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. These two verses and the psalm that we just read, and particularly the final verse of that psalm, give us not only a really helpful and important context to the miracle that we're going to look at today from the calming of the storm, but they also help us to see how all of these accounts involving water and the sea help us to understand the very definition and even the purposes of miracles, as we're reflecting these next few weeks on miracles. And Monique gave a really helpful introduction last week on the role that faith plays when it comes to believing for miracles and trusting in the God who is behind them. And today we're looking at this particular miracle of Jesus calming the storm, and it's a very well-known miracle, I'm sure familiar to most of you, the incredible scene of Jesus just asleep in the boat as this massive storm is raging around him and the disciples. And then this incredible miracle that he does. And as we look about miracles over the course of this next few weeks, we're looking at miracles in a bigger context of Jesus having just taught what the kingdom of heaven is like, what the kingdom of God is like, and is now showing his disciples what the kingdom of God is like through these miraculous signs, through these amazing things that God is doing. Monique gave that brilliant definition of a miracle last week. That really a miracle, very simply put, is something that only God can do, something that only God can bring about, but no human can muster or do, but God can do these miracles. And the miracle in our story is an obvious one on the face of it. Jesus is there, the storm is raging, the disciples are in the boat, these fishermen absolutely terrified for their lives because of the size of this storm. And in a single moment, they wake up Jesus. He stands up and just with the words of his mouth speaks peace and stillness over this raging storm, and it stops instantly. And it's no surprise that it leads to wonder and amazement in the disciples and this question mark of who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? So what's that got to do with creation? What's that got to do with the story of Jonah? And what's it got to do with the psalm? And what has it got to do with miracles as a whole as we look at these accounts of Jesus having power over the waters? Well, in each of the accounts, we see a number of things taking place that teach us about who our miracle maker is, and also the reason for some of these miracles taking place. And the first one we see both in the creation narrative and in the story in Jonah and in this story here in Matthew's Gospel, the power that God has and the will that God has to bring order out of chaos. Now, we'd look at the creation story of there being nothing, absolutely nothing. But the description that's given here of the waves and the earth being without form and void, it kind of speaks of this kind of chaos over the waters and the darkness over the face of the deep, and then the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. And we know that from that place we go on to read that Jesus brings something out of absolutely nothing. But actually what he's doing is bringing order out of chaos as God speaks the word into creation. The same, again, this storm is raging around the people gathered in the boat in Jonah. We know in that story, Jonah is trying to run away from God, and God is making it very clear that that's not an option. And he's making it clear by this massive storm raging up and causing fear again amongst the fishermen. And then when Jonah is thrown into the sea, order comes out of chaos again and stillness is resumed. And then we find that same thing happening again here in Matthew's account. Our God is a God who can bring order out of chaos. In the story of Jonah, and also in this story in Matthew's Gospel, we see another thing taking place as well. The thing we have to remember about both of these storms is that the people who are experiencing them are very capable water dwellers. They are fishermen. They are very experienced in what they do. They know how to navigate storms. They see them all the time, particularly on the sea in Galilee. Storms would be a very regular occurrence to them. There is nothing particularly unfamiliar about storms generally, but in both of these circumstances, both in Jonah and in Matthew, what we find is a storm that overwhelms even the most seasoned of sailors. There's something about this magnitude of this storm that is the likes of which they have never seen before. And so even these very seasoned and experienced fishermen are way beyond their depth, way beyond anything that they can possibly cope with or have ever had to cope with before. Yes, they know the principles of how to cope with a storm. Yes, they know the principles of what you should do. They know the experience behind them of what they would normally do, but what they would normally do isn't working. They are way out of their depth, both physically and metaphorically. And it's into that situation that they are thrown to one option and one option alone: dependence on God. Now, in the story of Jonah, they didn't know the God on which they depend, but they knew that their passenger did. And they were saying to that passenger, Jonah, what can we do to calm your God down? What can we do to quell this storm? They came to this point of utter dependence where they were beyond themselves and their own ability. Same true of the disciples. Lord, save us, for we're going to drown. Sometimes a miracle comes about when we are at the absolute end of ourselves and the only option left is God. Now, the preference is always that we come to God first, but we know that we don't often do that. Sometimes God can be the last resort, but God will always come through. Now, in each of these miraculous accounts over the water, there are different but also interconnected end goals or purposes or reasons behind them. In both, practically in all three accounts, there is a sense of God bringing peace and stillness and calm and Sabbath rest to a situation that is not peace and calm and full of Sabbath rest. As the people are fearful around them, Jesus is bringing peace to the disciples as well as bringing peace to the storm itself by his very presence. We have mentioned before that the reason Jesus is able to sleep in the midst of this storm is because we know that true peace is not the absence of difficult circumstances, but it is the presence of God within them. And Jesus knew the presence of God within him, within this situation. He knew what God was able to do in an instant, and so he was able to be at peace. and then to show his peace by bringing the reality of that presence to the disciples. Secondly, it does display, obviously, God's power. All of these passages display God's power. Miracles are designed to display the power and authority of the God we worship over all things, over sickness, over disease, over suffering, over provision, over whatever it is that is going to display this power in that moment. This is a sign that our God has authority, as the disciples even proclaim, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" You have to understand that the Jewish context and the Jewish understanding of creation and its power and its magnitude over all things was absolute. They knew creation to be a really powerful force, but they also knew that behind that was a creator God who had even greater power and even greater wonder. And so it's not surprising that it leads to wonder. That third reason for miracles, to lead us to that place of worship and wonder and awe in the God we worship and adore. The one we believe and trust in, who doesn't just talk the talk, but lives out what he speaks and does what he says he will do. He is a powerful, almighty, wonderful God. And we worship him as Lord. Now notice how none of those outcomes are about us looking good or holy, about us being seen to have enough faith. They are about revealing the majesty, power, and lordship of God in and through each and every storm. And whilst in all of these accounts, the storm is a very literal one, this is not metaphorical here, this is an actual storm that the disciples are facing. It's an actual storm that the people in Jonah were facing. What we can learn from these stories, these parables, these accounts of actual storms is something that can help us when we face the storms of this life. Challenges and trials are often described as storms, which means, yes, they do pass, but it means that whilst we're in them, they can feel incredibly overwhelming. But what we see in these stories is that we have a God who has the ability to overwhelm what overwhelms you. That our God has the ability to overwhelm what overwhelms you, whatever that may be. And that when we surrender to him, when we recognize that he is what we need, when we acknowledge him as the Lord that he is, he can give us that true perspective on what we're facing and remind us of his ability to triumph over every storm. Or as Romans puts it, to work everything to the good of those who love him. There is one and one alone whose power is displayed. And he deserves our wonder and adoration. And whilst through this series, we really want us to grow as a church that seek and believe in miracles and believe that we will see miracles happen, there is something even greater and more important that we want to see happen, and that is to see us grow in our faith and confidence in the miracle maker. Not to seek the miracles, but to seek the God behind those miracles, the one who can make those miracles happen. To recognize the power and authority and wonder of the God we worship and adore, the one we serve. He alone is the maker of miracles. There have been many films about the person of Jesus. There's The Passion of the Christ, there is The Chosen, there are many others indeed. But one of my favourite titles ever is a children's animation film simply called The Miracle Maker. That's who we worship. That's who we adore. And when a miracle takes place, when a miracle happens, whatever kind of miracle it is, whether it's wind and waves obeying the sound of his voice, whether it is seeing healing and restoration, whether it is miraculous provision when it's needed most, it is all to show that he is worthy of our worship and that he has called us into relationship of partnership with him, and he alone is the one who can do anything. One of the lessons the disciples had to learn as they were sent out to go and do this stuff was that it wasn't they who were doing the miracles. Yes, the miracles were happening in their hands. Yes, the miracles were taking place through them. but it was God who was doing the miraculous, because a miracle is something only God can do. And I've often seen in my own life and in the life of others that miracles don't happen when it's something that I simply selfishly want. And I think often we can ask for miracles because we think it will benefit us, or maybe even benefit somebody else. And yes, God does want to bless us and gift us and surprise us and encourage us and do incredible things for us. But the design of a miracle is to show us a miracle-making God. And in that, see his love and his power and his authority and his lordship. He is the one who can do anything. But also, tucked away, hidden in this story, is the greatest miracle you will ever see. And it's a miracle that if you are here today and you have chosen to accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, and you have surrendered your life to him and recognized your need of him, and you have accepted what he has done for you on the cross and won for you through his resurrection, then you have been a recipient of the greatest miracle. Healings are amazing. Restoration is incredible. Reconciliation of relationship is a beautiful miracle to see. And provision is always wonderful when we see God do amazing things. But there is no greater miracle in this world than the response to the three words the disciples say: Lord, save us. Salvation in Jesus Christ is the greatest miracle, because salvation in Jesus Christ is something only God could do. And when we respond to that with our yes and our amen, the greatest miracle takes place. You are saved from your sin. You are saved from the consequences of that sin. You are restored to relationship with God. You are healed wholly, inside and out, made completely and utterly whole. All the provision of heaven is given to you as you become an heir of the kingdom of God. Every miracle that's possible to take place takes place in that one moment of the God who saves us, saving us. There is no greater miracle. And every other miracle is for a wonderful display of God's power and majesty, but is all designed to lead us to that point of saying, this is the God who can save us. Lord, save us. You are the God who can save me. Lord, save me. There is no greater miracle than that. Our God is the miracle maker. Have you surrendered your life to his today to receive the greatest miracle you ever will?